is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. We continue a series during Oregon Wine Month, the Wine in the Umpqua interview series, talking to some of the local folks involved in vineyards and wine. We have Stephen Russell from Russell Prayer Rock Vineyards. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Kyle, and thanks for inviting me in.
So overall, what has the past year been like as a vineyard owner and a winemaker?
Well, in a word, I would say challenging. It was, for us, kind of the trifecta of challenges between the impact of COVID. When COVID hit us, of course, we were closed for a good portion of time, and that had a direct impact on us. But beyond COVID, we were faced with dealing with the fires and smoke, and then also in most of Oregon, there was a decrease in yield on your grapes. So it was really the trifecta of challenges.
I know. I mean, every sector of the economy, people had different impacts, and certainly in agriculture, you're growing a crop, essentially, and it's out there, and the elements are affected by it, not to mention the fact that we had, warmer temperatures and less rain as well.
Right. That's all part of being a farmer. You have to deal with all of those things and be pretty quick on your feet.
So when you last spring came along and evolved forward, what kind of tweaks and adjustments did you have to make to keep everything going?
So we were really, as a team, forced to think outside the box. And we felt that, when COVID hit, restaurants were closed, the ability for people to get out was curtailed. We had to come up with a few ideas, and pretty quickly. And so what we reasoned was that people were still going to be drinking wine, even though they were home. And in fact, they might have a little bit more discretionary dollars to buy wine because they weren't going out to a restaurant and then paying wine prices that you would at a restaurant. So our real key, what we looked to do, was try to figure out a way to reach the consumer, in our case, our wine club members, and give them, we did that through a combination of videos. We did specials through emails. And then one thing that I think really helped us was to jump over the hurdle of shipping cost, because our wine club is a club that's all over the United States. And so when you're shipping to the East Coast, our consumer was incurring a lot of shipping expense. So what we did was we found out ways to reduce that shipping to almost nothing. And I think that helped us immensely.
Wow. So as we got into last summer, things began to open up. I imagine you saw some improvement there.
Yeah, we did. In the beginning, we were basically only allowed to sell wine, but we couldn't do any wine tasting. And that really hurt quite a bit. But then as the summer progressed, we were able to do wine tasting, but then only in certain areas and with certain precautions. And so it still was very, very, very difficult. And there were limits on the number of people that we could have. But, overall, it got better. I just thank the Lord for our wine club, because our wine club through it all was so supportive of us. And in fact, as I look back on 2020, we were fortunate enough to have sales that exceeded 2019. And that was because of the loyal wine club members that we have.
I know for some people, going out and tasting, maybe having some food to go with it paired informally or more formally, and just the experience of being at a cool venue and stuff, people really enjoy. And when you can go purchase wine at a store, you probably had to get creative to keep folks wanting to drive out there when all they could do was pick up wine and hit the road.
Right, exactly. And then, we're blessed with the fact that we have a lot of open space, what we call courtyard space, and then our amphitheater. So we could follow all the protocols by using all of the great spaces that we have at the winery. So it worked out.
So do you feel like, looking not just at what you do, but at general in Oregon, I mean, I know that wine sales were up last year, just given the pandemic in general, for a lot of different reasons. But do you see increased interest, pandemic aside, in Oregon wine and in Umpqua wine?
I would say yes. I think what I've found is that there are additional investments from individuals that are well capitalized in the Umpqua Valley. And when you're well capitalized, you come into it knowing what you're going to expect in terms of expenses and such. You can, the outcome typically is a premium wine, better wine. And that's being reflected in the competitions around the country, where Umpqua Valley is receiving, in blind competitions, great awards. And so I think we keep moving up the ladder. And I think Oregon overall, too, has gotten good press, and it continues to improve.
Do you feel like last year there was some improvement, or was everybody dealing with just keeping things going?
I think it was, everybody was dealing with trying to keep things going. Yeah, I think we were fortunate, but not everybody was so fortunate. And even with the fires last year, I knew of some people that they didn't even harvest the grapes. It was that bad. In our case, we got lucky. We harvested a good portion of it before the fires, and then after the fires, we have this tremendous picking crew. I'll call them a picking crew, but as you might remember, we have different charities and churches that come out to do the harvest, and then we pay those charities what we would typically pay a subcontract laborer. And I was really desperate, and I remember praying very hard that we wouldn't lose all of these people once the smoke came, but they came and they picked, and it was just a glorious thing to see.
And I know that for wine, but also other agricultural crops, it's when you get to that point, it seems like deciding exactly what day, maybe a particular area of a given varietal, when you pick. I mean, it's one of those things that once you make the decision, it's like, go now.
Yeah, exactly. When the grapes are ready to pick, you've got to pick them. There's a fine just range of maybe a day or two. If you go too early, you'll get characters in your wine that you don't want. If you go too late, similarly, you'll get bad characters there too. So yeah, you've got to be spot on.
So if you, see an area that needs to be harvested, you notice that Tuesday morning, you can't necessarily wait around till, well, let's get people in here on Saturday.
Right, exactly. And we do pretty extensive testing out in the vineyard. So we have a sense of when we think we may be picking. And since we've been doing this, I've been doing this for 17, 18 years now. I really know my vineyard. I know when the harvest should be coming in and what numbers we look for.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with Stephen Russell from Russell Prayer Rock Vineyards. We'll talk more about wine in the Umpqua and about Russell Prayer Rock Vineyards when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1 later today. CBS Audio, America Changed Forever, that'll repeat on Sunday morning at 6 as well. Inside Douglas County Monday, there will be a lot to talk about with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Denenhofer. Today, it's Oregon Wine Month, and Wine in the Empire interviews Stephen Russell from Russell Prayer Rock Vineyard. For your facility, are there anything newer that you're kind of working on varietal-wise or things you're trying right now?
Yeah, so with respect to new varieties, we're kind of taking a pause on that. We feel like we've got a pretty good balance in life. We employ about 15 folks, staff members, and we've pretty much got this down at this point. So we don't want to mess with that. What we have expanded, though, is a little bit more of the farm-to-table in experience. And in fact, you'll be the first to know because the press release hasn't gone out, but we just hired an individual, a hometown boy, Levi Baranko. And Levi just graduated from the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America, in the Napa Valley. He'll be coming on as our chef and executive chef, and he'll be doing a lot more of the helping us with pairing our wines with different creations that he'll be putting together. So it'll be a great wine experience for people when they come out. In fact, every Friday we have what's called the ultimate wine experience. So people can come out and it's a kind of a food wine pairing, but at a very elevated level, where the chef will come out and talk about the food wine pairing. The wine educator will come out, talk about why why we're pairing that particular wine with that food. So that's something that's new that's happening, and that's pretty exciting for us.
You know, the wine-food pairing aspect is fascinating. As long as, you know, when I knew almost nothing about wine and was starting to learn some of this, people would talk about that, and I was kind of mystified until one evening. I don't remember what varietal it was, but I was up late on a Saturday. My wife had gone to bed. I had a part of a glass of wine, went back into the kitchen to snag probably something I shouldn't have eaten, an extra piece of pizza. but it was pepperoni, and I took a bite of the pizza, took a sip of the wine, and the wine tasted totally different than it had when I was just drinking it by itself. And suddenly, I mean, it was 11 at night. I wanted to call somebody. The light had just gone off.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what a difference that made, and really kind of changed my whole view of, wow, there's a lot of different things you could do here.
Right. Yeah, it's a real epiphany when that happens, and that's what we're trying to educate people when they come to our vineyard and winery. We were, I believe, the first actually in Oregon to offer sit-down tastings, where we have a wine educator that comes out and pairs each glass of wine, each taste of wine, with a different appetizer. So that's gone really well for us, and we're just expanding that to the next level.
So from the winemaker aspect, what excites you most about that process?
Oh, you know, it's the ultimate cerebral challenge. You're really only as good as the last bottle of wine you made. So if you're not continually trying to improve, then you're going to fall behind. And every year is different. So each year it's a different climate, different heat units. And so you have to be pretty quick on your feet to figure out your irrigation protocols, when you're going to pick. And then in the winery, it's all about continuing to test what yeast works best with what varietals, what oak treatment you should use with different clones of different varietals. So it's just a cerebral challenge, and I just love that.
What about the vineyard aspect? What excites you there in terms of walking around and looking at the grapes over the course of several months?
Yeah, that's really an easy question to answer, because when I'm out in the vineyard, all I see is the beauty of God's creation, and that's when I'm most at rest. You know, I can walk up to Prayer Rock and look over the vineyards, and I do it often because I have to be inspecting the vines on a continual basis. But when I see everything there and all the beauty of Douglas County from up at Prayer Rock, it's just amazing.
So do you have, you mentioned the chef, do you have some other future plans?
Yeah, we have an inn on the property, and what we've found is now that is really filling up. We have to turn people away. And so we have planned in the future to build an inn, a small inn on the property. I think we're zoned for like 5. We can have a unit of 5. And that would be great. I think one of the things I see happening going forward is more of that total experience on the vineyard and at a winery. And the people that are with us now that stay at the inn, they just love it. So we'll be able to offer more of that in the future. I'm also hoping to build what we call the tower, okay, and hoping to once again hook hands together with the Victory Builders and build a 3-story tower that will look out over the vineyards, which will actually be above the amphitheater that we have. So it'll provide some additional space for us and different tasting room, and a whole nother tasting room, actually.
Wow. What about the amount of land? How many acres do you have now?
We have 200 acres, and we have converted some of the acreage into farming. So when you come out, you'll see we now raise Scottish Highlander cattle out there. We have goats. We have sheep. Actually, the sheep are not ours. They're a friend's who runs a sheep there. So we're trying to develop that whole notion of farm to table so that our new chef can utilize things that are grown in our gardens or raised in our fields, in our pastures, and have a great experience for guests.
For this coming summer, what are some of your hopes for things you'd like to do?
Well, we got a jam-packed event schedule, which is on our website. One of the exciting things was, last year, well, we've always had the salmon bake, and then last year we experimented with bubbles and lobster, and that was great. So we're doing that again. I think they're both sold out. And then we're doing another thing called the Ultimate Barbecue. So this is the first year for the Ultimate Barbecue. That's nearly sold out. So, we've got, besides that, we have violins in the vineyard. We have jazz in the vineyard. We've got our, and this is a great, great event. It's the Blessing of the Vineyard, which is right before harvest. And we've got Grammy Award-winning Brandon Heath coming back to play in the amphitheater. So there's so much going on every week. And if anybody's into cigars and port, I do a cigar and port tasting. I have a good friend, Jack Trowbridge, who does the cigar part, and I do the port part.
I imagine it was really hard last summer to not have most of those things. I mean, some things you could still do, but not everything.
Right. So last year, I think the big limit was on the numbers of people. So it was only so much space that we could do it. So we did, we still had the majority of them, but they were just at a lower level or they were in a different location.
What about for wine in the Umpqua, where do you see the industry in this region headed?
Well, I'm really high on the Umpqua Valley. When we came here in 2001, when there were very, very few wineries, but there was something special about this place. Besides the climate, okay, you had a government that was very welcoming. And besides that, you had access to water, and you also had a great labor pool. The people around Douglas County, hardworking people, and I'm happy to say I've got a good deal of them that work with us. So, yeah, I think you're going to see great things going forward.
And give folks your website.
It is russellvineyards.com.
Stephen Russell, Russell Prayer Rock Vineyards and Wine in the Umpqua. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Carl.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.